Please be seated. We've all been asked, or at least heard, the really tough questions. What is the meaning of life? Is there life after death? Why does God allow pain, suffering, evil to exist in this world? Is there even a God? Now, from a purely philosophical point of view, those types of questions can make our heads spin. We tend to like to think in terms of cold, hard facts and not have to deal with abstractions, with things that we can't really touch or see, things that we can't experience objectively. And it's one of those very intangibles, one of those things we really can't put our finger on. That's the subject of our text for today. From Hebrews chapter 11, the first three verses. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Thus far the text. So keeping these words in mind, imagine that someone comes to you and says, "Tell me about your faith. Come on, seriously, you believe in what you hope for?" And when you put it like that, it sounds pretty flimsy, doesn't it? I mean, I may hope for a lot of things. I may hope that someday I become a billionaire. I don't think that's very likely. I may hope that Minnesota winters would become just as balmy as they are in the Caribbean. But I have a feeling that hope is going to get crushed again and again. I may hope that my children turn out to be Nobel Prize-winning philanthropists who come up with a cure for all cancers. But chances are I'll have to settle for kids that are a little more average. But sometimes you just have to believe, right? Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Now, granted, these words could apply to faith of any type. Any time that you believe something, there is that necessary element of trust. Something, believing that something is or will be without really having that concrete evidence. And we know that the writer of these words was talking about Christian faith, talking about our faith in Jesus as our Savior. So is Jesus only someone that we hope is going to be our Savior, someone that we hope is going to bring us to heaven? Logically, tangibly, that scenario of Jesus saving us doesn't make sense. Even if we didn't have the Bible making it clear to us, we know that we're sinners. Unless you're a complete sociopath, you know that you do wrong every day. Think about the hateful thoughts that you have against your friend, that you wish that he would just quit being so annoying when he's around you. Think about how you wish that everyone would just serve you, that they would do everything to make you happy, that the world revolves around you. We may even think that we're somewhat decent people, but we still know we have at least some bad in us. We don't deserve to have anyone save us or to give us anything good. We don't deserve to have Jesus as our Savior. But the Bible gives us hope. This is where our hope comes from. In fact, it is the solid foundation on which our hope rests. Peter writes in his first letter, paraphrasing from Isaiah, "All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever." In a world where everything seems to be fading away, failing, rusting, rotting, God's word does not change. It remains solid. And the best part of that unchanging word is when it tells us about our Savior. In his unending love, God sent his Son to be our Savior, to take our sins away, to live and die and rise again for us. And Jesus' life and death, those are actually facts that are shown in secular history. But it's the Bible that tells us the significance of his life and death. Jesus' life was lived in your place because you can't live that perfect life God requires. Jesus' death, again, in your place so that you don't have to die the death that God requires for sin. And because of what Jesus did in our place, God takes away our sins. He forgives our sins. And the Bible tells us then the rest of the story, that Jesus' resurrection guarantees our resurrection from the dead. Now again, this amazing news does not make sense to our limited, puny brains. But through his word, God works faith in us, assurance in us, true conviction that what he says in his word is the truth. In other words, he does work that faith in us. And that's how we have hope. So when someone says, "Tell me about your faith," we give the reason for the hope that we have. We share the basis of our hope. We share God's word and we let him do the speaking. Even so, someone may follow up and say, "You believe in what you can't see?" We can definitely relate to that question, that expression of doubt. I mean, if I were to tell you that I can lift a car over my head, would you believe me? Well, if I were talking about anything except for a little toy car, you'd have a hard time believing it without actually seeing it. If I were to tell you that a helicopter just landed over on the roof of Old Main, would you believe me? Well, you'd probably want to go outside and see if that were true. So when God tells us that he created the entire universe out of nothing, that he simply spoke and things came into being, including us, including people, we can't really believe that without trusting that it's so. We don't see it. We don't have a videotape of that taking place, of creation happening. We don't have someone's personal eyewitness testimony of how it took place. The only way we can believe it is by faith. Likewise, we can't see what's going to happen in the future. We can't see the last day when Jesus returns. We can't see our resurrection from the dead. We can't see the new heavens and the new earth that God says he will create. We trust that these things are going to take place. We have faith that God is going to bring them about. So yes, it is hard to tell someone about your faith. Why? Because it's so intangible. It's so nebulous. It's something that you just can't touch. You can't see it. But that doesn't mean that it's not real. You hear God speaking in His Word, telling you that you're a sinner, but also telling you that He has sent a Savior. And He convinces you that that is true. You feel, even if you can't remember it, you feel the waters of baptism washing over your head, and you know that those waters are God washing away your sins. You taste what the Lord gives you in His Holy Supper, and you realize that this is the same body and blood that Jesus offered for you on the cross. The same God who works faith in you through His Word and through His sacraments will fulfill all your future hopes, will show you the very glories of heaven. Have faith in Him. Have trust in Him. He will never disappoint you. Amen. Please rise. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in your infinite mercy, you looked upon us poor sinners and took pity on us, hell-bound sinners that we were. Thank you for sending your Son to be our Savior. In Him, we believe, we trust for the forgiveness of our sins, for life, and for salvation. Keep us always in this faith, this miracle of belief you have worked in us. In the name of Jesus, we ask all these things. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.